שלום, אנחנו בשיעור הכנה.
Hello, we are in a preparation lesson for the Worldwide Kabbalah Congress in New Jersey in May 2018. All as one, we will be reading selected excerpts from lesson number 4 on the topic of discovering the force of the Creator in the Ten. You can ask questions on kab.tv. Selected questions related to the study materials will be asked during the lesson.
The lesson is called Discovering the Force of the Creator in the Ten. How do we discover it? Here, we have to work on perhaps guessing what kind of form of the Creator needs to be. That means that we're yearning for Him, and thus we build the connection between us. We envision the correct connection between us, so that from our efforts, we want to build Him. We have to guess who the Creator is, and what kind of form of our relationship is His form, can match His adjacent form. And gradually, like that, we can discover Him. To the extent that we build what's suitable for the Creator, then He appears. So we have to guess who He is, what kind of qualities He has, according to what qualities of connection and forms of connection between us, we correctly establish Him, make Him, so to speak. In this work, we also have to ask of Him that He will shape us. That by the light that reforms, He each time will make between us a better and better connection suitable for His revelation, for His form. And surely, when we search and when we as if make His form between us, we don't know how correct or incorrect it is. We don't know, and it's difficult for us, and is it even possible to do something that's similar to the Creator with our own strength? And when we ask of Him, or when we don't, and He comes and does everything to help us to reach His form, then we feel that we are going through all kinds of states on our flesh in an unpleasant way, for sure, to our will to receive, which is our nature. But we get used to it. We gradually understand it time and time again. And we agree that specifically these periods are correct. They are periods of correction where we forcefully take upon ourselves the actions of the Creator, the actions of correction, to the point that we bless for the bad as we bless for the good, because there is no bad. It's actually corrections. Our will to receive takes on a different shape and format each time. I would ask this. What kind of relation there is between trying to receive the right form of the Creator in quantity and quality between us, and the influence of the Creator by the light who draws us farther and breaks the old connections and installs new connections, please.
The Creator builds in us according to the deficiency we have in us. We need to awaken the deficiency. To awaken the deficiency means to make efforts to try. And then we actually give the Creator room to work in the connection between us.
If we try to build the deficiency, whatever revelation happens, whether it's according to our desire, then it's joyful and it's for the better, and if it's from above, then it's without our recognition.
How will I feel it? This is the biggest change. If I will feel it because I want to connect, to correct, and to draw the light. Of course, I feel the shattering, but it comes out of my desire to advance. Whether when the Creator forcefully brings us closer, He breaks us, He gives us the feeling that we have to take the next step.
To the extent that we try to come closer and connect, the Creator helps us do it. Maybe in a way that doesn't seem to us as aid all the time, but certainly it is. It's the only thing He responds to in, let's say, a positive way. Yeah, positive way, because that's the attitude. The more we exert, the more the Creator helps.
The attitude is at first the opposite, because out of the will to receive, we're trying to reach bestow. And out of that gap, out of the suffering, when a person suffers in that desire, gradually the attitude begins to invert, to flip over. Then there is this gap that closes over time.
Yeah, it's this kind of relation of the more efforts there are, the more they're answered with a sense of separateness. We would expect it to be the otherwise, the way we understand this world, that we will feel closer. But what happens is that the gap between the present state and the desired state, corrected state, becomes sharper and clearer.
Because in all of our exertion, all we do is awaken the deficiency, the yearning, the longing. Well, actually, from this feeling that we control everything that there is, to the Creator being the force that manages and organizes everything that there is. And this transition occurs gradually through a force from above that ultimately shows the way.
And it's a faster and more desired path for us and the Creator.
The question was, what is the relation that exists between the effort that comes from us and whatever comes from the Creator? Any advancement that comes from the person, at least this desire that, well, finally the Creator performs the action. Even when a person wishes to come closer, these are not actions that we do by ourselves. We ask of the Creator to help us see the friends in a corrected manner, to help us pray over the friends. This is the person's desire, who wants to feel the Creator as close, wants to feel the quality of bestowal as close. And from that, there is, on the other hand, the upper force pressing on us in an unpleasant way so that we advance.
It's like two forces of nature that are attracted to each other. That's the relation. If there's an effort to connect on our part, then immediately, without any question, in a very direct, sharp way, there is a response positively from the Creator. How we interpret it is...
We will read excerpt number 4 again from lesson number 4, Discovering the Force of the Creator in the 10. Excerpt number 4 from Bala Sulam, letter 76. It is known that the whole earth is full of His glory. This is what every person should believe. As it is written, I fill the heaven and the earth. However, the Creator has made a concealment so that we cannot see that, so as to have room for choice. And then there is room for faith, to believe that the Creator fills all the worlds and encompasses all the worlds. And after a person engages in Torah and Mitzvot and keeps the commandment of choice, the Creator reveals Himself to him, and then he sees that the Creator is the ruler of the world. It follows that then the person makes the king who will rule over him. This means that the person feels that the Creator is the one who rules over the whole world. And this is called that the person makes the Creator as king over him. Again, it is known that the whole earth is full of His glory. This is what every person should believe. As it is written, I fill the heaven and the earth. However, the Creator has made a concealment so that we cannot see that, so as to have room for choice. And then there is room for faith, to believe that the Creator fills all the worlds and encompasses all the worlds. And after a person engages in Torah and Mitzvot and keeps the commandment of choice, the Creator reveals Himself to him, and then he sees that the Creator is the ruler of the world. It follows that then the person makes the king who will rule over him. This means that the person feels the Creator, that He is ruling over the whole world. And this is considered that the person makes the Creator as king over him.
So, once again, the question, what kind of relation there is between our efforts to build the image of the Creator between us, which is called awakening from below, the awakening from below that we ask from Him to do it over us? How do we do that? Of course, we can't approach Him and ask for help and intervention of some sort in the connection between us if we haven't made sufficient efforts, that we try and know and understand that we don't attain it, but we want it. We are alert towards that. We don't give up on that. And then we turn to Him with man, to the Creator, that He will do this work. That's why it's called the work of the Creator. But our part in it is that we invite it, we obligate it. My sons have defeated me. We each time force Him to do it on us. So what kind of work on our part we have to do? What part of the correction we have to do in order to reach the true man? Please.
We need the request to be of the right quality, that if the efficiency should be one, it should be complete, that we are all together, and each one is praying for everyone, and we're asking the Creator to connect us.
What is the work that we're supposed to do? What is the part of the correction that we're supposed to do in order to reach the true man? Oh, I truly don't know.
Our work is to put together the deficiency, the real deficiency. We're incapable of bringing it, or I don't know, doing it directly. Rather, we work out of the will to receive. But together with the quality of bestowal, that we have this effort, this exertion between us, truly making efforts to feel, to see, to justify, But even in such an action that is not all the way in our awareness, we are awakening this yearning that the Creator will come and help us, and we will truly have a desire for such a quality.
I don't think there needs to be a specific clear part that a person says, that's my part and that's it. Because the whole path is above reason and in concealment and by annulment.
I very much identify with Yehuda. Raising man has to be from a certain inner demand, which is very strong, very firm in the person. He realizes that he cannot do anything, but he also realizes that he requires correction, that he wants the correction, that he wants the Creator to intervene so that there would be the reforming light.
Yeah, those two opposites can be described in a way that, first of all, our work is to build together, to awaken together a deficiency as great as possible, and then also to try to notice that the Creator awakens this deficiency in us and not we don't awaken it ourselves, and these two things together in some way.
To reach a state of free choice, that I want to discover Him, that we all want together out of our deficiency, and not out of how He is trying to teach us.
We need to have some lack on the inside. Not that we need to talk about it too much. It's clear to everyone that he lacks something, that he yearns for something. But it needs to be not for ourselves, rather for others. It also needs to be nourished by the other's lacks, that I'll feel pain from what Yehuda feels pain.
The deficiency, I don't know, they call it sometimes half the shekel. We need to show our yearning, our lack. We can show it only out of effort. Through our efforts, we determine that this is missing. This is something that we can bring.
Even to notice exactly what we're lacking, it changes every day, each time, so much. And most important, just to hear what Kabbalah is saying and appreciate it and walk above reason.
Integration, incorporation, hitkalelut is what we're lacking.
Rav, how do we understand that only on the condition, to the extent that we raise the right man, we awaken the Creator to correct us? Directly, each lack that we raise produces a response to us afterwards. Because there's this status here of our lack opposite the upper light. So certainly any change of the lack awakens a response of the light right away. There's no intermediate mechanism here. Our lack directly changes the light. The question is, do we change it directly and for the better, which then makes us also feel that the change is for our own good, although it's against our ego? That depends on our preparation, how we accept it. And if we are not so ready to change ourselves, then our lack doesn't come so accurately towards the light that's about to change us, and then there's a gap between our lack and the desire of the light to change us, and then we don't feel that it's for the better. So if we raise man correctly, we're happy in how the light changes us. We feel good that the light bends us, that it really transforms us. That's the matter of make your desire as his desire, so that he makes his desire as yours. And then we work in partnership. So what does it mean to work in partnership with the Creator? Where are we partners with him? How do we reach the right partnership? Go ahead.
We are partners in that the Creator is good, that is good. He wants to bring the person to him. He wants to help us change. And so that's how he's a partner. We are partners in that we give him the room, we work together with him. The classical example that the horse feels the rider, that he understands where the rider wishes to go to, and without the rider kind of kinging him or straightening him, he simply goes to that specific place together as one.
The turning to him is already partnership. Well, there's a response that needs to come, but on our part, just being in connection with him, that's it. That if I turn to him, I'm already in contact with him. Also, if we notice that he awakened us to turn to him, and then we do, then it's an even deeper connection. So, and the response will come if it comes when it comes.
The partnership has to be from the side of the deficiency. The right partnership has to be from the side of the deficiency to bestow. As much as we try to be in the right deficiency towards this fulfillment, that I gradually learn and make the right preparation for what exactly does he want from me? And this is what I ask for, and from that I learn.
Partnership with the Creator. Partnership with the Creator is working with him for the same goal. Receiving assistance from him, depending on him, loving him, needing him, recognizing his greatness. Working for his sake, out of understanding that this is really the role.
The partnership is in building the deficiency, maybe. This is what the person has to bring. And the Creator helps in each and every stage along the way.
Rav, how do we come to make your desire as his desire? That's the upper half of the law. Make your desire as his desire, so that he makes his desire as your desire. If I now make my desire as his desire, then what does that mean, that he makes his desire as mine? He doesn't have any desire, so how do I make my desire as his? I'm kind of answering here. Where do I know the desire of the Creator? As it says, make your desire as his desire. He doesn't have a desire yet. There's the general desire, like Rabash writes, but to transform that general desire to a specific desire that will influence me and change me, I don't have that, and he doesn't have that. So what's the 10 for? Go ahead.
Yes, this is the matter that according to the intention, to the attitude towards others, towards the other parts, the created beings, this is how we build our attitude to the upper force.
Between Keter and Malchut, there's a 10. Between this is the Creator's desire and my desire, there's a 10. What's the Creator's desire? How do I know what it is? I have no way to know. only in the center of the ten, through the friends. The moment I exit myself and I pray for them, and I want their benefit, and I try to resemble the Creator, I can measure it only in my attitude to the friends.
In the end, again, the Creator is the one who awakens in us our deficiency. He makes our desire, time and again. We have to follow the words of the Kabbalists and their advice. We have to do what's needed in order for that to happen.
My desire turns to his desire. Once my attitude to the ten and everyone's attitude together is that we all want for everyone, and then the desire itself doesn't change that much, doesn't matter that much. The attitude here is what matters.
Yeah, we're always talking from the side of the kli, from the side of our perception at that moment. To make your will as his will means to adapt yourself to the state of the corrected kli, to the state of the corrected system of relationships between us. How do we do it? We were given a 10, and there we try to grip on that structure of the kli that is created by annulment, by integration, hitkalelut, by all of this work that we know that we need to do. And this enables us to be exposed to the light, which is what actually affects the change with the intention that then clothes over the desire.
Rav, how do we make the Creator rule over us? As written, that then the man makes the Creator rule over him. How do we make it so that he rules over us? On the one hand, there is an active action on our part to make him do it. On the other hand, it's to rule over us. So please.
Feeling the need, our need for him, for and an inner change in justifying. It is truly a need for his help that we are willing to take upon ourselves the work, and we're willing to go on a path that he shows us.
The Creator is found outside the person's will to receive, and there's only one opportunity, the group that's outside the person, to rule the person by man's annulment.
We need to be active in that we want to elevate the greatness and importance of the Creator between us, and we acknowledge the fact that he is the one who rules, that he's good and does good, that he wants to bring us to such a place where we will discover that there is none else besides him. This is our active act. And an additional action is annulment. We have to annul towards each other, annul towards the friends, in order to get from them that greatness, so that indeed it will rule us.
Once again, we say that our work is to bring the desire, and the light is what works and creates the desire in us, and that's how we need to approach things.
Out of the understanding and recognition that we don't know what exactly he wants and how to implement it, there is only one deficiency, that he will show us what to do in the next stage. And then out of having this common deficiency that we all want to resemble him, but we don't know how, out of that he shows us the next step.
Yes, I think that if perhaps, say there's a 10, and the only thing that keeps ticking and working there is what great the Creator is, and what privilege everyone has to be in there, and how everything is so awesome, and greatness and loftiness, and if that's what we engage with all the time, Then you see, where are you in relation to that? What's your attitude? Can you contribute? And whether you like it or not, you're there. You're engaged in that.
Our work is done with respect to the group. Only with respect to the society can we measure. Except number 5 from Bala Sulam, a speech for the completion of the Zohar. Spiritual dvekut, adhesion, can only be depicted as equivalence of form. Hence, by equalizing our form with the form of His qualities, we become attached to Him. This is why they said, as He is merciful. In other words, all His actions are to bestow and benefit others, and not at all for His own benefit, since He has no deficiencies that require complimenting, and also He has no one from whom to receive. Similarly, all of your actions should be in order to bestow and to benefit others. By that, you will equalize your form with the form of the qualities of the Creator. And this is spiritual dvekut. Again, spiritual dvekut can only be depicted as equivalence of form. Hence, by equalizing our form with the form of His qualities, we become attached to Him. This is why they said, as He is merciful. In other words, all of His actions are to bestow and benefit others, and not at all for His own benefit, since He has no deficiencies that require complimenting, and also He has no one from whom to receive. Similarly, all of your actions should be to bestow and to benefit others. By that, you will equalize your form with the form of the qualities of the Creator, and this is spiritual dvekut. How does the Creator establish this law that dvekut is not according to nature, but according to the form that is upon the created being, that the created being himself takes on the form of bestowal, he demands the form of bestowal in order to equalize with the Creator, in contrast to my initial nature, which is just the will to enjoy, to delight myself, and that's it. It's not clear? No. How does the Creator, or how did the Creator establish, arrange the matter of dvekut, that according to nature it is impossible because the nature of the Creator is bestowal and the nature of the created being is reception? So how did He arrange it so that dvekut is according to equivalence of form, not equivalence of matter, but equivalence of the form that the matter takes on? Please. For us, it is our attitude towards each other. This is what expresses the form. Obviously, a person on his own is an egoistic creature. He just sustains himself, but through his attitude to others, by that he expresses the attitude of the Creator. He wants to have such an attitude as the Creator. There is this phenomenon in light that when it influences the kli, it passes along with the bestowal, with the fulfillment, also the qualities of the light. And then, bit by bit, it is formed within the created being. I wanted to say one thing, and then Shai said the word attitude, and it's really, it's something very special when you think about it. We are the complete opposite of the Creator in our nature, in our form. But specifically by changing our intention, what does it mean, intention? Our attitude. There is a 10. Your attitude to the friends is it's truly an opportunity to resemble the Creator. It is something that is truly very, very special. With our little mind, it seems like the only way to enable the created being to achieve, to attain the Creator and still remain as the created being out of this oppositeness, specifically in the gap between these two, that's where things happen. If our nature would also change, then what would remain there? And the fact that we correct our form, but the nature itself changes, that precisely is what enables us to do the work. It is something special. Yes, the form is determined by me having something, and gradually I realize that I don't want it. I don't want to be in it. Rather, I want something which is precisely the opposite. And because we all want the same thing, that already brings equivalence of form with the Creator. Rav, in a process that we study in the cascading from above downwards and the ascent from below upwards on the three axes, it doesn't matter how you talk about it. Where is there a preparation for equivalence of form and the implementation of the equivalence of form? From the beginning of creation till the end of creation, where is there a part that takes care of establishing the conditions for equivalence of form and actualizing the equivalence of form? What was the question again? Where in the process of creation there's a part that prepares the conditions for equivalence of form and the part where we actually achieve it, perform equivalence of form. I don't know. I'll try to integrate with what you're saying. I don't perceive it. It seems as though the conditions for equivalence of form were prepared from above. The third state exists to begin with, and the one who performs the equivalence of form, this is actually the action of the created being from below, in terms of the factors. On the one hand, we can say, Rav says, so the cascading from above downwards is the preparation, and the ascent from below upwards is the implementation, the execution. In the cascading from above downwards, we have the formation of all of the conditions for lack of equivalence of form, so that later on, from that state and above, we will reach equivalence of form. Next. Can you repeat that? From above downwards, in the cascading of the worlds, the conditions were made for lack of equivalence of form. Along with that, that we will have the possibility to reach from below upwards, to reach equivalence of form until the end of correction. What does it mean, the end of correction? It means complete equivalence of form between the created being and the Creator. Next. Excerpt number 6 from Rabash, second volume. Rav, of course we can elaborate on that, expand on that. How do we do it in the 10? Because the implementation, the execution is only in the 10. So the first 10, which is the first Havaya, was divided and subdivided and subdivided and broken, and it fell down in all kinds of different manners into complete lack of equivalence of form, lack of connection, complete lack of connection. And then we begin to correct it in return. On the way back, tens and tens, we don't understand it, we don't feel them, but by trying and trying to put together the 10, by that we gather and gather and gather many tens that seemingly are here, all kinds of such forms. What does it mean here? Inside of us, but in the connection between us. Until we begin to see them, that they are being established in a ten which is more and more and more progressive. Well, we'll discover it, please.
Court number 6. From Rabash, from Why is the Torah called the middle line in the work? The Ari writes, there is the matter of se'ot, hairs, which cover the light. So they do not enjoy the light as long as they are unworthy, since they might blemish. The thing is that we must believe that the Creator gave us a desire and yearning to do good deeds. And as long as one is unworthy, he must not feel that the Creator compels him to do good deeds. This is why the Creator hides himself in dresses, and this dressing is called lolishma. In other words, sometimes the Creator hides himself in a clothing of friends. Again, the Ari writes, there is the matter of se'arot, hairs, which cover the light. So they do not enjoy the light as long as they are unworthy, since they might blemish. The thing is that we must believe that the Creator gave us a desire and yearning to do good deeds. And as long as one is unworthy, he must not feel that the Creator compels him to do good deeds. This is why the Creator hides himself in dresses, and this dressing is called lolishma. In other words, sometimes the Creator hides himself in a clothing of friends.
How do we, by arranging our correct relationships, a correct relation to the whole of creation, and especially to the ten, we discover that this is the form of the Creator. Please.
Because specifically through our relation to others, we receive the exact opposite form, the awareness of where is he and what is the attitude we're in, and as a result, we can awaken the true deficiency, the yearning for correction, for change.
We get it above reason when we are under concealment before actions towards connection, we awaken the light.
Equivalence of form. Everything that exists outside of us is the ten. In the ten, the Creator appears in the right relation towards them. And we discover the desire of the Creator, which is the only thing outside man.
The Creator is the right attitude of the person in the ten, our attitude to in the ten. This is why we arrange our right attitude to the ten, and by that we discover the Creator, because it's one and the same.
Yeah, the person yearns to discover guidance from the Creator. What's the next step? How to act? Once he brings the ten to the degree of the Creator, then he truly receives from it that guidance.
Yes, I would also be very happy to learn practically what does it mean, the right attitude to the ten? How do I arrange myself correctly opposite the ten? How do I not let the ten run away from me during the day? How do I turn it into the thing that is the most important for me in my life?
Yeah, and I think exactly these questions Chanoch raised is the right relation to the ten, because relation is first importance, and in the importance there's first a struggle that we try to raise it, but on the other hand the Oviut comes up and down, and this game is what builds the right lag if we play it correctly, and then we raise a request that our relationship will be correct.
The person is not truly really capable of building the right attitude like the Creator to the ten. because anything that he will build will be out of the opposite, oppositeness of creation. Specifically out of the effort, out of trying, he gets guidance. He gets guidance by seeing the oppositeness of creation, the oppositeness itself, and from that he awakens the deficiency. It comes indirectly, not directly, the deficiency.
A person won't be allowed to just make a correct attitude and then discover the Creator, because it's against the goal of rising above the will to receive. So he'll never know that he actually makes the right action to.
Rav, how do we discover that those se'arot, hairs, meaning disturbances, obstructions, they are actually aimed in order for us to discover the right form of relationships between us, called Bore, Creator. Come and see. How do we discover that the form of the obstructions, it is precisely what aims us to discover the right relationships between us, called Bore, Creator?
The person on his part cannot even think about what the Creator is, what the quality of bestowal is. And specifically through his friends, he can receive a direction. And the disturbances that we receive are in order to kind of help us nudge us back on track. Out of our desire to work through our vessels, through the will to receive, the nature the Creator gave us, it kind of help us put us back on track. And I know what is the right track only through the friends, the work with the ten. As I'm opposite to it, I'm pushed away from it, I want to run away from it.
Thank God we have experienced a little bit of experience, a few discernments regarding it. And this is how we see it. We can feel it on our flesh, that things that seemingly obstruct the connection between us, if we relate to them correctly, then we see that they're actually opportunities, truly gates for a leap towards a greater connection. I think it can be felt already. Yeah.
You see that there are disturbances over the wholeness of the Creator on behalf of the Ten, and then you begin to care for the Ten and give it strength. Item number 7, this is from Letter 17 of Baal HaSulam. There are three aspects. One, Israel is one who strains oneself to return to one's root. The Creator, namely the root one longs for. Three, the 613 ways of the Torah by which one purifies one's soul and body. This is the spice, as it is written, I have created the evil inclination. I have created for it the Torah as a spice. However, these three are actually one and the same. In the end, any servant of the Creator attains them as a single, united, and unified. They only appear to be divided into three because of one's incompleteness in the work of the Creator.
So those three discernments or aspects are Israel, the Creator, and coming closer between them. How can it be that after our work, when we try to somehow put these three things together, Israel, the Creator, through all kinds of conditions in between them, which are called the 613 actions, how do we discover that it is all one? Not two, not three, not that they're all assembled together in a special way, but it is one. How do we discover that Israel and the Creator And those 613 actions have made all of these three discernments into one, truly, without any way to distinguish between them. Please.
I don't know. What comes up to me is that there's a friend or a ten that shows that to you. What's this revelation? The revelation is a kind of equivalence of form or even adhesion. And in order to feel such a thing, you have to be a part, not a part, you have to be a complete example for it in the ten. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. So how? I don't know. It depends on you, this magic, I guess.
We pass everything to the discernments that a person has towards the ten. A person naturally feels himself as separated from the ten. But the moment that he feels himself connected, or a part of the ten, apparently in that dvekut, adhesion, he feels that in the ten there is also the Creator. And then it's considered that these three aspects connect. That can happen only through the reforming light, because a person cannot perform an action, but a person can yearn to be a part, integrated in the ten. We have to move these concepts to the work in the ten.
This is exactly how much, to the extent that a person can separate from his will to receive, he can diagnose the lack and fulfillment as one, so that the lack itself and the preparation is what he then perceives as himself, even though it's detached from himself.
Before he's disconnected from himself, he also relates to each and every means as equal, and also to the friends, and then the light shines, and it changes the person.
We live inside the ten. Life is the quality of bestowal, and a person can reach it only, well, like Hanoch said, when he manages to be completely immersed in the ten, the thoughts, desires. This is what motivates him, and there the Creator can be felt. All three aspects can be felt as one. We don't discover it on our own. It's not something that a person suddenly discovers. It appears in the common connection between us, that place called the center of the ten.
The will to receive is what divides and separates. This is how he shows us reality, and it is impossible out of it to see three things as one. It's simply impossible. Impossible. They will always seem as three. What we need to do, as we said before, is in some form to come out of this dominion of the will to receive. And there are such moments where indeed you are allowed to taste a little bit of it. When we feel as one with the friends, and then also, well, I don't know what it means to feel the Creator, but there are such moments when everything comes together.
Out of feeling that the common lack between us comes from the ten, and the fulfillment comes from the ten, and then everything stems from the ten as well as the Creator. Item 8. This is from Bala Sulam's The Love of God and the Love of Man. When one completes one's work in love and bestowal for one's fellow person and comes to the highest point, one also completes one's love and bestowal for the Creator. In that state, there is no difference between the two. For anything that is outside one's body, meaning one's self-interest, is judged equally, either to bestow upon one's friend or bestow contentment upon one's maker. Again, when one completes one's work in love and bestowal for one's fellow person and comes to the highest point, one also completes one's love and bestowal for the Creator. In that state, there is no difference between the two. For anything that is outside one's body, meaning one's self-interest, is judged equally, either to bestow upon one's friend or bestow contentment upon one's maker.
Let's say that indeed it is so. So why does it say from the love of people to the love of the Creator? That the love of the Creator seemingly comes after the attainment of love for people. Please.
Why does it say from love of the created being to love of the Creator? That's the question. That love of the Creator seemingly is after attaining love of the created beings? Why? Because that's how it is. It's not a matter of afterwards. It's more like instructions for work. It's like a user manual to assemble something. First, find a friend, define what it is, then you need to love him. If you love him, you'll suddenly understand what is the Creator and loving the Creator and all that. But it's like steps of the work.
Yes, they're one and the same after you come to it. But before you come to it, it's first working on love for people, and only from that we reach love for the Creator. Before we reach it, well, there's an order of cause and effect between them. Along with that, you cannot work on love of people without the goal being love for the Creator, because otherwise the direction will be incorrect. So both the means and the goal have to be correctly in focus and correctly kind of crossed.
Why? Maybe because the right deficiency and the connection with the Creator comes from oppositeness and not directly, and through the created beings one receives a lack to actually be in bestowal.
Well, this is the form that is the most non-egoistic. If it would be the opposite, from the love of the Creator to the love of people, it's like a person putting a condition. I will attain the upper force, then I will be able to love. And that way you have to exchange the order and go above reason.
Forces us to work, to be in a relationship with the Creator. Everyone can decide for himself what's the Creator and how does he feel it, and it will all be from our own vessels without any effort. Love of the created beings forces us to come out of ourselves. We have something very tangible to work against, to measure ourselves against. And from that place we actually find what the Creator is.
Of course, I agree with everything that was said. I can also add that if we invert the order and go first to the Creator and say, then I will love people, then many of the catastrophes in our world, if not all of them, come from that way of looking at things. People who think that they're already in contact with the Creator and they begin to persuade everyone that they are right.
Yeah, the force is already there. We just have to find the detector that can detect the force, and the detector is the group. So to us, we first have to find the detector. But the Creator was always there.
Moving on to the next part of the study of the lesson.